This is Mark Langdon's Bets Club.
Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. What a huge episode we have for you today, with so much still left to play for in the Premier League, European finals to dissect, and top tipsters armed with knowledge. You must stay tuned. Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon to guide you through proceedings. Mark, I feel out of breath just thinking about what we've got to come up. It's been a hectic week, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, particularly for you, having to travel all the way to London for today's episode. We're doing it in
we
real
are.
Life. It has been a hectic week. I mean, that sort of Arsenal v Newcastle game feels like it was about 3 weeks ago, given what's sort of gone on since, with Liverpool just about keeping the title race going. Europa League final went on for quite some time last night. I'm not sure the Eintracht Frankfurt celebrations have stopped yet either. But, you know, this is what it's all about, isn't it? And, you know, we've had the crazy amount of playoffs as well to fit in with it. So, I mean, best time of the season, really, in terms of football.
What's life been like as a Tottenham fan over the last week?
It's been good. Yeah, it has been good. I mean, I feel
remarkably calm.
Well, there is still work to be done. I know that you've been very down on Norwich for most of the season, and rightly so. I mean, you've watched them sort of lose most weeks, but you know, I think when we spoke this time last week, Arsenal were 1-4 to finish in the top four, and you know they're now what 18-1, and Spurs are 1-33. So Monday night was really exciting from a Tottenham point of view. I mean, we might get to it a bit later, but I thought Arsenal's performance was dreadful, really. I mean, there's a little bit more excuse, you know, in the North London derby, soft penalty, a red card that I think was deserved, but you know, when you get that in the first half, it can be difficult to recover from. But the Newcastle performance was shocking.
Could you see that coming? Did you think they'd bounce back from the
No, I didn't. I mean, I was pretty confident that Newcastle would get something out of the game. Mm. Yeah, I didn't think it'd be that easy for them, but I believe in the process. I'm always sort of saying, and I've been trying to tell my dad this and my niece when we're going, like, just get to 70 points and 71 points, and it's nearly always enough. And football fans are just, they look at the fixtures and they go, oh, they'll win there and they'll win there. And it just, the amount of times it doesn't work out like that. And so you just have to kind of believe in a sort of points tally. And then how you get there doesn't really sort of matter. What was that sort of, you know, was it that you don't care how the sausage was made, just as long as it tastes good? And I think that's how I sort of go for with the points tally. Just, you know, just make it taste good at the end. Don't worry about how it gets there.
You know, Jesse Marsh was pinning quotes on the wall. Do you think that could make his inspirational wall alongside Mahatma Gandhi?
I don't think that one was from Gandhi, was it? But it's, or Mother Teresa or whoever else he's been calling upon. I just think that, and I said it before, and we were talking about this with Liverpool and Man City, I didn't fancy them to win all of their games. It's not easy to just keep winning matches, and similarly at the bottom, and we'll get to the relegation stuff, again, like a point could be a massive result. Like, you just don't need that many. And so, it has been a really exciting week or so. The one thing, when I was watching the playoffs, I was just thinking, I wish the Premier League had some kind of playoffs.
How do you think?
I don't know how you'd do it. I think the Champions League's sort of, I don't know, because when would you do it? Because the Champions League, you might have a team that would be in it, but having to play Champions League final or FA Cup finals, I'm not sure. But the playoffs are the best of the best, and I'm just not sure how the Premier League can sort of ride that.
I'm sure Jurgen Klopp would be delighted with even more games, wouldn't he? I'm sure we'll get on to the relegation scrap and more on the top four later, but let's quickly discuss the Europa League final. I suspect there'll be some sore Scottish heads in Seville this morning, Mark, and sadly the hangover won't be a happy one.
No. I mean, it was great to get, you don't want to be too sort of patronising, but it was great to get to the final. I think the way that football sort of landscape has changed for a Scottish team to be able to get to the final of the Europa League is a really big achievement. You know, they took the lead, they had their sort of moment to win it as well in extra time, and I think Ryan Kent will feel like he should have scored. But I do think overall, the best team won.
Yeah,
Eintracht Frankfurt were the more progressive team Particularly in the first 90 minutes, they looked a bit sort of exhausted in extra time. And they just took their penalties really well. And, you know, somebody has to be a loser in a final.
I must say, I was impressed the way Rangers sort of rode the first half an hour in particular, because Frankfurt were all over them. And Rangers just dug in. And then they looked really promising, particularly in the first sort of 15, 20 minutes of that second half.
And the you know, I'm pretty ignorant really to Rangers and Scottish football. It's not, you know, not a league I cover. So sort of Bassey, the centre back, something I didn't really know too much about. You know, I think the only time I'd read about him was when he broke lockdown rules or whatever it was. And you could sort of immediately. I reckon there's probably about 10. Premier League clubs that will be thinking, oh yeah, we could do with him at centre half. So you know, they have to make sure they try to keep hold of their best players. But I still think it's a great achievement to reach the final. Sure. Even though it won't feel like it at the moment.
No, absolutely, it was a stunning contest. Let's have a quick word on the relegation battle. I feel really sorry for the listener that sort of tweeted in a few weeks ago saying, Mark, give me some faith with Leeds United, and you spoke. I think you did give him some faith.
Yeah, but they're not in the relegation zone at the moment. I know they might be. You know, they might be come Thursday or, you know, on Sunday. But they're out of it at the moment, Jack. And as I said a little bit earlier, you know, teams don't get as many points as everyone thinks down at the bottom. So you know, maybe that point that they got, you know, in the last minute against Brighton, it might be the point that saves them. It might be the only point they need. So. You know, obviously they're 8-11 now, aren't they, to be relegated. Burnley 7-4, Everton 8-1. You know, Burnley of course got this game on Thursday against Aston Villa, but I still think it's pretty close between the two of them. And if I was sort of, in the way I'm going to do my tips this weekend, it probably it to me feels like Burnley need to get something against Villa, because I'm going for both teams to lose on Sunday. Don't want to give too much away, but I certainly think the value's in opposing them.
Yeah, that's coming right up. We'll get deeper into all of these topics and be previewing the Premier League fixtures right now. Right, our match of the day. There's an exciting title race that will be decided this Sunday. Let's start with previewing Manchester City against Aston Villa. Manchester City 1-6, Aston Villa 18-1, 7-1 the draw. All of the matches this week in the Premier League, Sunday at 4:00. Mark, it's going down to the final game. Did you expect it to be going this far?
No, I felt that Man City would beat West Ham. I went to Spurs Burnley on Sunday, so I was watching sort of the game on my phone on the way back. At 2-0 down, though, you still felt like City would come back into it, and obviously the Mahrez penalty would have effectively won City the league. He didn't score it, and you know, Liverpool made sure that City have got to finish the job. And I think it can get nervous if you don't score early in this type of game. Maybe it gets nervous, and then we've got this sort of, you know, obviously Villa being managed by Steven Gerrard just adds another little twist to it, doesn't it?
Will Manchester City be holding those nerves from having conceded a couple last time out? I mean, Villa are no mugs. They've got goals in them. They've got quality in that side.
Yeah, I think defensively, City are not great at the moment because of the injuries that they've got there. You know, Fernandinho being a grand old servant to the club, but I'm not even sure he's a great centre half even when he was sort of playing there when he was more in his prime. He's certainly not one anymore, and you know, West Ham exposed that, and Pep Guardiola exposes it because he won't think Fernandinho has been in the back four or best protect the defence more. He's played the same way, just with players that are not quite as good at centre half. Obviously, you know, with Diaz and Walker, players like that missing. It's a lot to take out of a team. And, you know, I think Villa will sense an opportunity to score. It's just how many they need to score. And, you know, I would fear for Villa's defence. And not only that, they're playing on Thursday night. So, you know, City have had a nice week to prepare for the game. Going Thursday night and then Sunday, it's hard. It's definitely harder. There's no doubt about that. Particularly for teams that are not used to it.
Absolutely. 8 times in the Premier League era, the title's gone down to the final day, and every single time, the team on top has finished as champions. Will that be backed up this weekend?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, Man City 1-7 to win the title, Liverpool 5-1. So the last time it sort of changed hands was that it's up for grabs now. Arsenal when Thomas scored for the 2-0 win at Anfield. So there's been some nervous moments in there. I remember 1 year Manchester United were 1-0 down at half-time to Tottenham, who were on the verge of handing Arsenal the title, which would have been absolutely... I was definitely pleased to see them lose that game. And then, obviously, the Aguero one is the one that everybody remembers. So I think it could be nervous. I think something like maybe a 3-1 correct score might be the way to go, because City are not perfect at the back, you know, with all their injuries. But they have scored at least twice in each of their last 8 Premier League games. And I think with that kind of firepower, I'm not sure, even with the sort of defensive concerns they've got, I'm not sure Villa are able to get 2-3 goals at the Etihad, and they might need that to help Liverpool out.
OK, so that's Manchester City. Let's discuss Liverpool against Wolves, also, of course, on Sunday at 4 o'clock. 1-5 Liverpool, 18-1 Wolves, 7-1 the draw. You spoke very down about Wolves last week, and I wasn't particularly sure, and you thought Norwich would get something against Wolves. They did. They were really bad.
Yeah, I think that... the league table looks good for them, really. I mean, he's just about to finish outside of the European spots. I mean, I know maybe the fans don't take that because you want the excitement of maybe finishing in Europe, but I'm pretty sure most people at the club would take top half finish and, you know, just move on. But the way they've been in the second half of the season, particularly, I think they've been awful. Mm. And for a lot of it, they've had some injuries, as have most teams in the Premier League. You know, it's been a hard slog, I think, because obviously... not much time off, you know, that they're basically playing back-to-back-to-back. Jimenez hasn't come back the same player that he was before the head injury, which I think is totally understandable. First half of the season looked good, and Large was getting a lot of credit for that, the new coach. I mean, if you look back at the stats, the goalkeeper, Jose Sarr, was playing, you know, out of his skin at that time, gone back to kind of normal levels now, and results have been awful. I mean, if you have a look at their expected goal difference for the whole season, only Leeds, Watford and Norwich have got worse. Wow. So, I mean, you know, you're talking here about a team that's sort of more sort of akin to relegation. And in their last 17 Premier League games, according to fbref.com, only once in those 17 games have they accumulated a higher XG than their opponent. So... you know, that is not good. You know, I think it's fair to say. Even when they beat Watford, it was 4-0, but the XG was really close in that game. So, a difficult team to weigh up, but one that seems to have lost their way just in terms of motivation as much as anything else, maybe.
And on the flip side, you've got a Liverpool side here who haven't been at their best, but found a brilliant way of just grinding out victories.
Yeah, they have. I mean, I think I said last week I thought they'd have to grind it out against Chelsea. Didn't really fancy them to win in 90 minutes. He gave most of his key players the night off on Tuesday, which I think they clearly needed. I think it's a brilliant achievement to take the quad as far as you can take it. You know, to the last day of the Premier League season, they're in the Champions League final. They've played every match that it's possible for them to have played in this campaign. And what I think they'll do is I think that the crowd won't be that disappointed even if they fall short. I think that there'll be this real appreciation for what they've done and how far they've taken it. And I think that they'll blow Wolves away, and I think that they'll particularly do it early. I think they'll go all guns blazing and look to put the pressure on City, you know, maybe get 2 goals up and then hope for the best. So my bet here is Liverpool -1 on the first half handicap at 23-10, for the reasons I've mentioned, really, in terms of the opportunities Wolves gave up against Norwich. If they do that against Liverpool, then they could be in for a hiding. Just as well, really, that goal difference isn't going to play a part, because I think Liverpool might have fancied clawing it back.
So many more brilliant Premier League games to get through. Let's do that now. We mentioned it earlier, but we've, of course, got some Thursday night fixtures to get through as well. We've got Everton against Crystal Palace, Aston Villa against Burnley and Chelsea against Leicester. 2 of those fixtures, big players in the relegation battle. Mark, do you want to run through these for us?
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea v Leicester, I haven't got an opinion on that game, really. I wouldn't back Everton at odds on against Crystal Palace. You know, got a lot of players out at the moment, Everton. Injuries and suspensions really hurting them. They know a win. You know, it's survival, isn't it? And they've got a tricky last game at Arsenal, so that they'll be all out to win this game against Palace. But I mean, they just don't win enough games for me to want to back them. So if you are having a bet, I'd probably Palace or draw a double chance. I wouldn't be amazed if Burnley got a draw against Aston Villa. Of course, that would mean that they go into the final day with it in their hands, and so I don't expect them to necessarily be going, win the game. I think they'll try to get a point. And I was relatively impressed with what they did in the second half at Spurs on Sunday. And even really throughout the whole game, soft penalty, one that had to be given by the laws of the game. But, they looked a bit more of a threat in the second half.
Is there a small concern for Burnley that, I mean, they played Villa, 2 weeks ago in an important game and lost that? Will that still be fresh on the mind?
I don't think it is. I think we maybe overplay kind of the mindset of a sports person, in as much as to reach the top, like, you've got to be so strong and you've got to be able to overcome so many disappointments and just get on with it. So I think that, maybe we project sort of our own sort of how we'd be and how as fans we feel after games. But, I would imagine that most elite athletes and, Burnley, I've got, the Premier League players. So if you think how hard it is to become a professional footballer in the first place, then to play in the Premier League, you've got to be able to put stuff like that behind you. And I think Sean Dyche was really good, actually, at doing that with Burnley. Mm. The amount of times they'd lose a game and then they'd get something when they really needed it. So I think they're a really sort of strong, physical, mentally sort of able team. So, no, I wouldn't have thought that'd be an issue. If they lose, it will just be because Villa have got better players.
OK, so let's go on to Sunday's fixtures then, and we'll kick things off with Arsenal against Everton, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough game, obviously, because we don't know if Everton need anything at this stage. It becomes a completely different game if they're fighting, for a point, as we saw at Anfield. Whereas if they secure, survival tonight, they'll probably be celebrating, I would have thought, on Thursday. It's a quick turnaround. So with that in mind, I'm going to go for Saka to score first at the moment. 15 goals for club and country this season. I mean, it was a dreadful performance against Newcastle, but I thought he was the one player, in the first half anyway, that actually looked like he might score and might do something. And he's on pens as well, so there's a couple of reasons to go for Saka.
OK, let's move on to Brentford against Leeds. Now, I wasn't too far off my Brentford to go down shout, just a 12 points difference at the moment. They're up to 11th place, playing well. Leeds need something from this.
Yeah, well, they might win, and it's one of them weird ones. They might win and be relegated, depending on what Burnley do on Thursday. They might lose and stay up. So Jesse Marsh is going to need all of his inspirational talk to work that one through. Look, I just think that Brentford looked motivated to me when they played Everton. 8-11 draw, no bet at home. They've only had 2 defeats in their last 10. They've won 7 of their last 10 and drawn against Tottenham. Eriksen and Tony make such a big difference to them. And I think if you look at their sort of the form over a whole season, you'd say that Brentford 8-11 is a pretty fair price, I think.
Absolutely. Now on to Burnley Newcastle. I must say my mind is starting to become scrambled with all of the possible outcomes here. But let's take this game in isolation. Burnley at home against Newcastle. Mark.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think Burnley will feel like they'll need something from the game. They'll expect, and I think as a manager, you have to think Leeds will win. That's how you have to go into that game. And so they'll need something against Newcastle. But Newcastle are 2-1. And they've won 5 of their last 7. The defeats in that sort of 7-match period were against Liverpool and Man City. So, most teams lose to them. Over the last 19 games, that's half a season, 11 wins, 3 draws, 5 defeats. Those 5 defeats, 4 of them were against teams currently in the top 4.
Impressive.
So, I mean, I think outside of kind of the obvious teams, they are now playing as well as anybody at the moment. And they're 2-1 to win at Burnley. Again, motivation could be an issue, but they looked fired up on Monday. I know it was our last home game and that was building to something, but I don't think you then want to end the season on a flat note. So, I mean, Newcastle just looked better than... I mean, I watched Burnley on Sunday, I watched Newcastle on Monday, and I think Newcastle at 2-1 looks a good bet.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the relegation picture sort of sorted. I hope we provided some form of clarity. It's difficult, isn't it? Let's move on to the top four now. Norwich against Spurs. So what do you need? A point, Mark?
Yeah, assuming Arsenal win against Everton, Tottenham need a point. And I did look at the draw, actually. It's 6-1 because if it is a draw with 10-15 minutes to go, I think Norwich would think that's a really good result for them and a proud way to end the campaign. And Tottenham at that stage would have to say, you know, we can't afford to start chasing this game. And I wouldn't be amazed if it got a little bit nervy. If Tottenham don't score early, it might get a bit nervy. But the one bet I'm going for is Bentancur each way to score first at 40-1. Now, his last club goal was January 2020. So, that's a long time ago. I'm not sure exactly how many days, but it's over 2 years. But he has been the target of all Tottenham's set pieces. He makes the run to the near post. He flicks it on for Kane to score against Arsenal. Had a couple of goes against Burnley as well. So I've just noted him down as somebody that's making the run to the near post. So at 42, I don't ever remember him doing that for Juventus. So maybe that's why he didn't score the goal. So at 40-1, he also has a few shots from midfield. But I think more likely it's to come from a set piece.
And if Norwich are good at something, it's conceding goals from set pieces. So every chance.
Every team thinks their team's the worst.
Oh, we are the worst. We are definitely the worst.
I think Leicester are the worst.
Right, OK. So that's relegation. That's the top four. Now let's move on to Europa League and conference spots. Manchester United and West Ham involved in these. Manchester United will be travelling to Crystal Palace this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think it's important. The Europa Conference, new competition. I think the conference aspect of it puts people off in England because of the connotations with sort of non-league. Yeah. But also, it's a competition that hasn't got many glamorous teams in it. There's no chance of qualifying for the Champions League from it, which is important. So I actually think that Manchester United are 2 points clear of West Ham, but will need to win if West Ham win because of the goal difference. And West Ham have been really pushing for the Europa League. If you think back to when they were in the Europa League and going well, David Moyes was still wanting to finish in the Europa League, doesn't want... or would prefer not to be in the Europa Conference. And I think the humiliation aspect of Manchester United being in the Europa Conference would hurt them, really. So I do think it's important. In saying that, I'm going to go for Crystal Palace to beat Manchester United.
Really?
Well, I mean, look, Erik ten Hag's going to be at the game, isn't he? And maybe there's something in those Manchester United players that goes, oh, we best try to impress the new manager. But, I mean... do they care? Do any of them care? I'm not sure that they do. If you look at their last 10 games, they've lost 5 and there have been just so many dreadful performances, not least that one against Brighton the other week. And I mean, Crystal Palace, last game of the season, glamour game against Man United. I mean, they'll be up for it. I don't see why they wouldn't be. And then that gives, I believe, West Ham the big target of the Europa League. And I'm going to go for them to win at Brighton because I'm not sure... if we look at all the prices around on Sunday, there's a lot of what teams need to do. I'm not sure it's fully factored into this West Ham one. So I'm going to go for West Ham to beat a Brighton team that's going well. And as far as West Ham are concerned, that sort of a nice little time off would have done them the world of good. I mean, they were 2-0 up against City and missed chances against them as well. So, I see them being fully motivated for the win.
That would be the icing on the cake for United season, wouldn't it? Being knocked out of the...
they deserve the Europa Conference.
They do. They don't even deserve that.
Yeah, I almost feel like that's more humiliation than not being in Europe for a team like Manchester United, not for other teams. And we'll get on to the final later on. Two really big teams in historically Roma and Feyenoord. But, I just think for Man United being in the Conference League...
is that sort of the equivalent of being a youth footballer? I sometimes used to get awarded the most improved player, which was always just a kick in the teeth.
Club man of the year.
Yeah. Just means you're not very good, but thanks for turning up. There's two Premier League games with not too much riding on them. It's exciting, actually, going into a final day with so many storylines still left to be finished. Let's start with Chelsea against Watford. And I just cannot believe how bad Watford have been this season. I genuinely thought they would turn at some point, but they haven't.
I've got in my notes here, they've been a disgrace, I think. And I don't... Norwich got a lot of stick, for their lack of ambition. Watford... I think it's even worse, because felt like they kind of got better players. Like you look at like Ismaili Sarr, and you know they've got sort of I think enough players in there to be able to be more competitive. Even if you go down, to be more competitive, and they haven't looked like they've been bothering for most of the season. And I don't think you want to be going away to you know the third best team in the country on the final day with nothing to play for. When the other week the manager couldn't even be bothered to clap the fans because he said it was too far. I mean, hard game to call in terms of you know, a betting opinion. I could see it being something like 4-0.
Okay, and finally, Leicester against Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, nothing riding on this game, but I actually thought that Leicester were a fair price. I know they've got to play Chelsea on Thursday, which is never ideal, but Southampton lost 8 of 11, and I think there's good opportunity here for Leicester.
Premier League is set for an exciting weekend, and so is the EFL. Let's discuss the League One playoff final with Dan Childs.
And now we're joined by Racing Post EFL expert Dan Childs to talk about the League One playoff final, which is at Wembley on Saturday. Sunderland against Wickham. Sunderland, the bookmakers' favourites. Dan, do you fancy them to go up and finally get the job done and get back in the Championship?
I do. I think it's going to be a tight game. I mean, all of these League One, the League One semi-finals were all sort of tight matches, weren't they? I mean, Sunderland came through 2-1, you know, on against Sheffield Wednesday, and Wickham came through by the same score against MK Dons. And I mean, Sunderland are favourites. They've got the you know majority of the crowd supporting them. I do think they've got more quality in the areas that matter as well. And that's why I would just favour them to get the job done at Wembley.
So I mean, what has Alex Neil done differently, sort of in your opinion, sort of since he come in? Because they've been on a really good run.
I think he's got them organised at the back there. I mean, he's you know you look at Bailey Wright and Danny Bart there, two of the back three, really spent a lot of their career in the Championship, and it kind of looks that way. They've managed to shore up that back line. O'Neill and Evans, you know, forged a good partnership in the midfield. And once you've got that solid base, they have always had quality players in attack that can win you games. Got a lot more out of Jack Clark as well, who's been on loan from Spurs. Earlier in the season, wasn't really featuring a lot, coming off the bench. And I watched him in both the legs against Sheffield Wednesday. He's probably their best player in both games. I mean, good from a Spurs point of view, looking going forward. But he looked absolute class in both games. Set up the crucial equalising goal towards the end of the second leg at Hillsborough as well, and he was outstanding. Ross Stewart's really impressed me over the two legs. We know he scored a lot of goals in League One, but when you watch him firsthand, he's got a bit of everything. He's got a bit of strength about him, a nice touch. He finishes well under pressure, and deceptively quick as well, as he showed when he sort of sped away to get that goal in the first leg against Sheffield Wednesday. So I like what I've seen from them. Wickham are a good side as well. Don't underestimate them.
Gareth Ainsworth sort of comes and attacks you. They're always underrated, aren't they, Wickham? Just in terms of, you know, they kind of spoken down upon quite a lot, Dan, you know, because of their style of football and stuff like that. But they certainly get the job done.
I think they play on it to an extent as well. You know, the little old Wickham tag. We know they're a much smaller club than Sunderland, but actually, there has been, since they went up to the Championship, come back down again, there's been quite, you know, good investments gone in. The American owner there, Rob Koeig, has put some decent money into the club, bringing in players of sort of, you know, former Championship experience like Gareth McCleary. Sam Vokes was a big signing for them, you know, last summer to lead the line. You know, beat off some good competition to get him. So, and Ainsworth has been open about that. He has kept crediting Rob Koeig for the investment he's put into the side. So it's not little old Wickham anymore. They've been building for a long, long time under Ainsworth. They are a genuinely good side. Make no mistake about that. And they certainly won't go down without a fight. I just think in the key areas of the pitch, especially up front, just think Sunderland have got that little bit too much quality. The likes of Clark, Stewart, who I've mentioned, Alex Pritchard, who's found a really good position for him as well in the number 10 position. He looks really creative, and a lot of their attacks go through him. I just think they'll have the edge.
So is it Sunderland in 90 minutes, or is there a more creative way to back the Black Cats?
I think I would go with Sunderland in 90 minutes. I mean, if you're backing them to win, you know, to lift the trophy, the prices, you're looking at quite a bit of odds on, and you know, if it goes that distance, given, you know, both sides are mentally strong, but Wickham, as we know, they fight to the absolute death. I mean, to get through that that MK Dons tie, when I think the shot count was 29-2 in the second leg, yeah, against them, and they still managed to get out with a 1-0 defeat and came through it. If it went that far, you wouldn't really be betting against Wickham then. So I think Sunderland will be looking to get it done in the 90, given the incredible spirit of Wickham. And I don't think there'll be a lot of goals in it. I think it'll be low scoring. You know, as I mentioned, you look at all of those games in the semi-finals, only 6 goals in the 4 games. In the league, I mean, you've got Wickham ended up with 83 points, Sunderland ended up with 84. There isn't a lot between these sides. Just think on that, you know, on that Wembley pitch, very good surface, Sunderland's extra quality may come to the fore.
Always great to hear from Dan. Thanks to him, as always. You can read more from him on Racing Post Sport Online. Let's go through Mark's best bets for this week. It's been an astonishing run, Mark. We'll start with your prop shop.
Yeah, I mean, the naps have been absolutely flying. I'll say the prop shop's been a bit more frustrating. We've been putting up some first scorers that have been scoring in just the normal games, but these prop shops need to do better. Hopefully, Inaki Williams can get it out of trouble here. Athletic need a result against Sevilla to try to get into Europe. Williams is 6-1 to score first. He's left a lot on the table this season in terms of XG, because he's only scored 8 times. His XG says he should have had nearly 14. So wow. Maybe there's a bit of luck to turn there. I've not been that overly impressed with Sevilla this season, even though they've qualified for the Champions League.
Let's get on to a long shot then.
Yeah, no goal scorer in the playoff final, 8-1.
If
you look at the total regular season games, last 21 for Sunderland and for Wickham, 6 of those 21 were 0-0. We know that both teams are defensively really strong. Sunderland have only allowed 11 shots on target in their last 7 games. So they're very strong defensively. Gareth Ainsworth just gets every ounce out of Wickham, and I think he'll know they'll be underdogs, and he will unashamedly set Wickham up to be the underdogs. And my sort of feeling is that Sunderland will probably just about nick it, but you know, I wouldn't be amazed if it was a low-scoring game.
So one to get your jobs done during the first 90 minutes of that one then. Let's get on to a treble for this weekend.
Yeah, so we've spoken about these games already, because I'm sticking to the Premier League. I just think culturally I can understand final day of the season easier in England maybe than in other nations. So Leicester to beat Southampton. I think that Leicester are showing a bit better form actually now towards the end of the season. They've got Vardy back, Fofana's back, Evans is back. That probably explains it. And then 2 draw no bets. So we're opposing the 2 teams that probably, you know, need big results. So Brentford against Leeds and Newcastle at Burnley. So it's draw no bet Brentford v Leeds, draw no bet Newcastle at Burnley, and then Leicester to beat Southampton.
It was a really nice shout from you last week, Leicester away to Watford. A crazy price when you sort of looked into it, wasn't it?
When they win so easily.
Yeah, I know, it almost seemed too obvious.
Yeah, but I think the problem was that there's this thing of maybe there's a lack of motivation from Leicester. Not that Watford needed anything themselves, but you know, do we really need to win this game? But I think generally speaking, you know,
they should have been listening to Kevin Pillane.
Yeah, I mean, generally, there is a dip, and we saw that with Fulham against Sheffield United. So you do have to, if you back these teams and they don't play to standards, then you have to, that is sort of built into the price that occasionally it's going to go wrong. In terms of the nap, Brentford draw no bet against Leeds. Just look at Leeds. I mean, it could turn out to be a great point against Brighton, but it was only a point at home to Brighton. We've seen them for much of this season, since they lost the players to injury. I don't think it's Bielsa. I don't think it's Jesse Marsh in terms of, you know, managerial ability. I think it's the lack of squad depth that's caught them out. And you know, they're going to take a lot of fans to Brentford, but I just think Brentford are better than them.
There we go. Mark's been in brilliant form in recent weeks, so I hope you've jotted down his best bets for this weekend. Let's move on to the Europa Conference final and also your Twitter questions. It's Roma against Feyenoord in the Europa Conference League. This is Wednesday night, 13-10 Roma, 21-10 Feyenoord, 5-2 the draw to lift the trophy. Roma 8-13, 6-4 Feyenoord. Mark, you put up Feyenoord quite some time ago. You must be excited for this.
Yeah, 12-1 each way, so got the place part.
What did you see in them that made you excited?
Well, it was just really, I think, if you remember rightly, somebody had put me onto them, so I can't claim all of the credit. But I think what it was that maybe, well, the feeling was that the Eredivisie was being underrated as a league for this season, and Feyenoord were, in some people's eyes anyway, a bit closer to PSV and Ajax maybe than the market thought that they were. They then got a nice bit of the draw, really avoided, Roma and Leicester played each other, didn't they? Leicester then knocked out PSV and Rennes. So they've had a lovely little run on the other side of the draw as well. I suspect that Roma will probably just edge them in a low-scoring game. I just think that Feyenoord, in that semi-final against Marseille, Payet got injured. And he's so important to Marseille. And I think that's how they were able to keep a clean sheet. I think if they go behind against Mourinho's Roma, they're just going to shut them out. And, he'll unashamedly shut them out. And, I wouldn't, maybe like Roma 1-0 or something like that. But we'll cheer it on and hopefully Feyenoord can, upset the odds.
Absolutely. I know a lot of our listeners back that. So best of luck to you all. We put out a poll on our Twitter account at Racing Post Sport. You can also get involved with Mark's personal account at Mark Langdon. Who is your manager of the season in the Premier League? We gave you four options: Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, David Moyes and Thomas Frank. Out of the 250-plus votes, Jurgen Klopp coming out on top in a fairly resounding victory with nearly 50% of the vote. Next up was David Moyes, then Thomas Frank, then Pep. Jurgen Klopp, lots of love for him, Mark.
Yeah, and we've spoken about Liverpool's run this season. I think he's the one I voted for. However, I mean, not so much Pep because he gets enough shout-outs, really, but I do want to just shout out, Thomas Frank, who... he's taken a newly promoted team to mid-table, and I always think that's a big achievement for any. The gap feels like it's getting a bit bigger season by season. So that was a great effort by him, and I think tactically and the way that they work things, they're really smart.
Yeah.
You can see when you play against them, you can kind of see that they work a lot on training, on tactics and stuff like that. And I think that Moyes deserves a shout out because he's got West Ham back-to-back European football. Don't think many people would have fancied that 2 years ago, semi-final as well. And he's done so on a really small squad. I mean, he only really got Antonio up front. And I think he's done very well. In the comments, Eddie Howe, there was quite a bit of love for Eddie Howe. Yeah. I think he has done well, obviously, have spent money. Like Bruno Guimaraes, sort of, you can see that he's not going to be messing around at a relegation level team. That's for sure. But he does deserve credit, I still think, for turning it around. But I just think for a manager of the season, I like them to have done the whole season, really. So, I'm not going for him.
It's always interesting when you speak to kind of former players who've been involved with newly promoted sides, and they say the first season is always a tad easier because teams just don't know what to expect. Are you not factoring that in slightly with Brentford? Do you fear for them next season, or they'll be okay?
Second season syndrome, I think, definitely used to be more of a thing. And I remember in the Racing Post, we used to do a table. If you backed them all blind second season, you were well in profit from just backing teams to be relegated season. And I think over 20 years, you probably still would be in profit, but it's definitely levelling up. But Leeds could be the next one to go.
Look at sort of Sheffield United in recent years.
And Leeds as well could go. But I just think that Brentford are really smart. Like, they are so well run. If they lose Ericsson, that's a big person to replace. But I just feel like they'll just find somebody else because they always do.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's get on to some Twitter questions then. Simon asks, Mark, how do you see the World Cup impacting on teams next season?
Walked into the office, colleague Joe Casey was in there, and one of the first things I was talking to him about, actually, was how the World Cup is going to impact on teams. I think it's going to be massively... if something like Liverpool put so much effort into every game, like if they're not able to rest players in the week because they, a lot of the Champions League, they're cramming that in, it's not a normal fixture list, you know. So, and then the players are not going to get a break. They're going straight to the World Cup. I think it will. I think it will catch anybody out. If you're sort of in a competition like Europe, say like a West Ham, for instance, and you haven't got the squad to cope with that, I think in the second half of the season, you'll be blowing. If you've got players that have gone to the World Cup. Now, if you've got players that aren't going to the World Cup, then that could be lovely little breather for them. But you sometimes get it, don't you? Even these sort of smaller teams, now most in the Premier League, they've got quite a lot of representation in terms of international football. So I think it will impact it massively. And I think you're going to need a big squad. And those that run on smaller squads, I think are going to need even more luck than usual.
There we go, Simon. That answers your question. On to Pete. And he says, is the draw always a big runner in finals?
Yeah, I mean, obviously League Cup, FA Cup, and then the Europa League. I think in all of those, I've mentioned it, really. I mean, yeah, it is. Goal expectation in finals goes down. If that goes down, the likelihood of a draw goes up.
A good friend of mine always backs the draw and then both of the teams to win on penalties. Oh,
yeah, that's the other way of doing it, because I know a lot of people think, oh, there's never any goals in extra time, so you might as well back both teams at like 11, 12 to 1 on penalties.
Absolutely. Connor asks, any stats on whether it makes a difference for a shootout to be in front of your own supporters? Yeah, oh, I like this question.
Yeah, because the BT crew were saying it was important that Rangers were in front of their own fans last night. Now, Ben Littleton, author, is the kind of penalty expert on this. So I typed his name and that question into Google this morning while I was on my train into London. And he's actually written a newsletter on...
Oh, wow.
What's that one where you pay for? Stack, something. Stack.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So he did a newsletter.
Did you pay for it?
No, it was free. Oh. So probably because it's in the archive. So he did... a big, big, massive sort of dossier really on penalties, and I think we all know that going first is an advantage. I mean, that's clear. He said, from all evidence that they've done, it doesn't make a difference whether a shootout's in front of your own fans. I think you feel like it does, but you know, and like I would say he's number one really for penalties. So he's done a lot of work on it, written books on penalty shootouts.
And
so,
I suppose the perceived benefits, you've also almost got the pressure of. In front of your own fans,
yeah,
haven't you?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, does a bit of booing, whistling and waving make that much difference?
I think you'd just be nervous, whatever, wouldn't
you? Yeah, I think that's a good shout.
Mark asks, Mark, any dangers to Benzema in the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah, we spoke about this the other week when somebody said, you know, could we back Mane and Salah maybe sort of split against him? I think he'll win. I do think he'll win. I did shout out Messi, half-jokingly before. There will be a lot of people that just vote for Messi blind, but I think Benzema probably is deserving of it, but you don't want to be backing him at short odds, that's for sure.
Mark, will Chelsea lose a lot of their best players this summer and the beginning of them fading away from being a major force?
I think they'll lose a lot of important players this summer. We already know the defence is going to need almost completely reshaping, but then you look at it and you think, well... they've still got the wing-backs. Chilwell will come back and James. I still like them in midfield. I still think that they've got a lot of quality in midfield. And the forward line, I mean, like if you lose Lukaku, replace him with somebody that's probably more effective. So don't see them dropping away massively. I do think there'll be a gradual drip away from where they were, because obviously Abramovich, when he was spending the money, didn't seem to care, you know, if they did overspend on at certain times, and you know most owners don't think like that. So I still imagine if they keep Thomas Tuchel and sort of the main parts of their players, they'll still be top four next season. But don't really see them challenging the top two. And then you know, can Tottenham, can Arsenal, Manchester United surely can't be as bad again. You know, they should get, I think, a lot sort of close, and put more pressure on Chelsea for top four. I wouldn't be backing them for the league, let's put it that way.
Okay, Shane asks, Mark, which final day games do you see being potential cricket scores?
Well, it depends if England are batting, because that could be
2-0.
Yeah, exactly. Or the 0-3 or whatever it is. So I think the obvious one for me is Leicester against Southampton. Two teams marooned in sort of mid-table, or Southampton the lower end of mid-table, but you know what I mean, nothing to play for. Leicester do like to play quite expansive football. Southampton are at their best when they're pressing. I think the pressing's just dropped off a little bit, and then their defence becomes very vulnerable when they don't do that. So that could be one of them games that just goes end to end, you know, for the 90 minutes, and you know, hopefully as I tip Leicester, they win something like 5-2 or something like that.
We've had a few questions come in regards to the Women's Euros. Any tips for that tournament?
Yeah, I mean, not yet, no. I think my biggest tip for it will be that, you know, over the summer, Racing Post will cover it extensively. So get onto racingpost.com when the tournament's, you know, about to start, and we'll have team-by-team guides, you know, we'll throw the works at it. You know, we've covered the Women's Super League, Women's Champions League throughout this season, so the Euros will be no different in that respect.
Looking forward to it. Finally, JP wants to know, how likely is it Spurs get stuck into the lasagna on Saturday night? And Chris wants to know if you're taking a cover shot on the Norwich-Arsenal double at 18-1.
I took a cover shot on Arsenal when they were losing to Newcastle the other night on Monday. I probably will back. I probably will have a small amount of money on Arsenal to finish in the top four, just so that it won't compensate it, but it'll be something.
Soften the blow.
It will soften the blow a little bit. I mean, lasagna is something I struggle to eat now after what happened at the Marriott all them years ago at Canary Wharf. And I still do park near the Marriott quite often when I come into London, and I always give it a dirty look. It was a hard game away at West Ham. I'm not sure Tottenham would have won it anyway. But, you know, obviously the sickness bug really got to them. I think this is a different Tottenham team and they should get the job done.
It feels
boys
like
can roll over. We give you Ollie Skip last year. We might be able to give you Troy Parrott next year.
I would, from a very sadistic point of view, love it if we beat you, though. You've been giving us so much stick this season, and rightly so most of the time.
I think I've tipped you to win twice. That's more than what you've probably done.
That's true. Yeah, there we go. Really looking forward to that one. We'll be back next week for our final edition of the season of Bets Club. I've really enjoyed it throughout this season. As always, if you've enjoyed the episode and never want to miss a future edition, then please do subscribe to our feed on your podcast player of choice. As always, Mark's put up a lot of fancies, and also Dan Childs with the EFL action. Only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Stay safe, enjoy this weekend, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.